Ocean FM.
Donegal Plumbing and Heating, Old Lahey Road, Donegal Town. Suppliers of underfloor heating packages, aluminium radiators, Samson and Daikin air-to-water heat pumps, and all your renewable needs. And sponsors of the Donegal GAA podcast.
It's just fabulous to see him alive, and I've been picking her up.
The thing about the club is you don't choose your club. It's like family.
You want to get back out on the field. It's just that it's in your blood, I suppose. And you just want to get out there now and get the games going again.
Brian Murray, let me shake hands with you. You come in here hobbling. How are you feeling now?
Oh, I'm all right. I think nothing but a couple of pints won't do, I'll tell you, you know.
He gets the foot behind it. He launches it in. It's over the bar. The wee man from Chester.
Yes, and welcome to the Donegal GAA podcast with Ocean FM. Paddy McGill here, looking ahead to this weekend's All-Ireland semi-finals at Croke Park. Armagh taking on Kerry on Saturday, throw-in at 5:30, while on Sunday it's Donegal versus Galway, that one getting underway at 4 p.m. And that's the contest where we will likely spend 90% of the discussion. I am delighted to be joined on the show by Roscommon manager Davy Burke and Cathair O'Kane of the Irish News. Now, we did record the podcast before we heard the sad news of the passing of John O'Mahony, one of the most influential managers of the past 50 years. John leaves a huge legacy in his native Mayo, Leitrim, where he managed the county to provincial title in 94. And of course, Donegal's opponents on Sunday, Galway, where he led the tribesmen to All-Ireland glory in 1998 and 2001. John was a great manager who was way ahead of his time and above all, a complete gentleman. So sympathies from everybody at the Donegal GAA podcast and Ocean FM to John's wife Geraldine, his five daughters and grandchildren. May he rest in peace. As stated at the outset, we heard the news of John's death after we recorded the show, so we will be discussing John's career in much more length on Sunday's review podcast. Okay, as I said, I am looking ahead to Sunday's All-Ireland semi-final clash between Donegal and Galway with Davy Burke and Cathair O'Kane. Before we dissect the game, I began by asking Davy about his season with Roscommon.
You know, the heads are down and, you know, we're disappointed after last weekend. But, yeah, ultimately, it's another year done, yeah.
Look, only one team wins the All-Ireland every year or one team wins the club championships or whatever. Is it tough when you're so immersed in something for so many months and then it's gone after, what, 70, 80 minutes?
Yeah, it's unbelievably tough. Your body, I've never, last year, this year, my body since Monday or Sunday has just been, it's kind of like it shuts down. It's amazing the way adrenaline works. It really affects you in different ways and really lacking energy. It's amazing. It's amazing when you put so much into something and then it's just gone after 70 minutes and you have to look at four other teams doing your dreams, you know. So, yeah, it's not easy, Paddy.
I know from talking to the Donegal lads down the years when they get knocked out, they do find it hard to stay in tune with the championship maybe till it's over and then they go back and look. Is that how it is?
Yeah. Obviously, I've had a look here today because I'm going on with you boys. But yeah, it is very, very difficult to... It's not like you lose interest in it, but your interest has gone in it. And when you're so immersed in it, you're nearly... You don't mind which way it goes from there, you know?
Before we get into the match, Davey, I've been off for the last couple of weeks, teachers and everything, and I have a very sad life, Davey, as you know, and I've spent a lot of time watching football matches from the 80s, 90s, the Nods, and it's what I do in my downtime, okay? And the reason why I'm bringing this up before we get into the game is I actually think it's been a pretty good championship in 2024. But there's this narrative out there at the moment, and it's kind of taken over the GAA discourse. Okay, we have the structures and all that. It's about the game itself and how it's played and how it's supposed to be played, in inverted commas. And I'm not looking back, Davey, at matches from
to 20, 30, 40 years ago and thinking that they were all really good games either. What's your own, as a coach, what I'm trying to say is there's always been good games and there's always been bad games. When there's a bad game, there's this absolute incessant outrage out there. And we have rules coming in. We have a rules committee, and I'm thinking in my own head, could everybody just calm down? Some of the games in the past 10 years, you could point, like any era, have been as good as any period in history. What's your own take on that?
Yeah, I don't think there's an awful lot wrong with the game myself personally. There probably is a few twinks, like the attacking mark, I think should be done away with, or else go forward with the inside the 21 or inside the 14 only. I don't think there's an awful lot wrong. Could you speed the game up? I think the big issue the public have is when you can turn away from a game, Paddy, and nothing happens. I think that's the big issue that people have, is when the ball's being held around the middle of the field and both teams are set up and there's no engagement and there's no contact and there's no risk, and, you know, there's no jeopardy. Ultimately, people want to see jeopardy and they want to see opportunities and turnovers. So it's the stalemates around the middle that are causing the problems. And even from a manager's point of view, at times, there's times they can turn around and talk to my management team knowing full well that I'm not going to miss too much out there, you know?
Okay, the jeopardy one's interesting, and Cara, just quickly on that, because people are saying that is why people are staying away from the game, is that I think it's way more nuanced than that. I think there's a PhD study in it, because again, if you go back to the 80s, 90s, and even some matches in, you know, semi-final 07, I think at 40,000, the 98 semi-final Galway Derry at 38,000, the mid-90s hit a boom with attendances for about, 15 years or so. For me, there's probably too many games. It's very expensive going to matches. Maybe the style is, but it's only one factor in my opinion.
Yeah, look, it is. It's definitely more than one thing, Paddy, and you're right. The expense is something that I would feel is wrong. I think the ticket pricing structure is a bit mental on from start to finish. When you've league games on the first weekend of February at €20, and then you get to the group stage of the All-Ireland and it's €22, but games in between have been €40, and it's just like, you know, there's no real joined up thinking in that. But also, like, the style of the games, I think the thing that gets me in that whole debate is when people say you're talking about games in the 70s and 80s and they weren't great, and I look at it and I think to change the game, we're not talking about regressing it back to those. I think players are more skillful, they're better. There's a bit, like, I was actually just looking there while you were talking, I was checking, like, one of the Armagh Donegal games in Croke Park in the middle of the 2000s, those series of games that they played, Armagh kicked 21 wides and Donegal kicked 14. You know, the shot conversion, the quality of the play now is so much higher, but also there's more constraints in terms of how teams play. And if rule changes are able to open up the sport, I think you have potentially a far, far better spectacle than you ever had. And I think it's just, you're just a wee bit at a tipping point. And Davey's right. Spells where people are sitting on their phones, bored out of their heads, long spells of possession. Like, it's not what you want. It's not what you want in a sport. And, like, young people are hard enough to engage. I mean, they go to a concert and they can't leave the phone down for 90 seconds to listen to a song. So getting them to leave it down for an hour and a half, they'd be really engaged with a football match.
Okay, fair enough. And listen, as I said, it's a PhD study. There's about 10 podcasts in it. Davey, is there a contrast in styles between Donegal and Galway? I've been listening to other podcasts over the past couple of weeks. I'm not fully buying what they're saying. They're saying Galway are this offensive team, almost a throwback to the old days. Donegal are really defensive. Donegal, I think Donegal are actually one of the most attacking teams left. It's a different type of attacking. Donegal don't kick the ball, but they do get loads of bodies when they run it ahead of the ball. Is there a contrast in styles ahead of Sunday?
Yeah, there's a definite contrast in styles. I think it's probably the opposite way around. I think Galway are the best defensive team in Ireland by a long way. I think their record stands to that. I think they're brilliantly set up. And they've also got the players, like in Johnny McGrath, they probably have the best cornerback on form this year. You know, Jack Lynn's well able, Sean Fitzgerald's well able. And then they obviously get plenty of cover from everywhere else. And if you look how many goals Galway concede, I won't have the stats to hand, but Galway concede very, very few goals unless they're off kickouts generally. So, you know, they're an exceptional defensive side, both personnel and structurally. So I wouldn't agree. I would agree with what you're saying, Paddy, in that I think it's the flip of it. Whereas Donegal, for me, are a hugely exciting, attacking team in that they're the one team in the country that really stretched the full 140-odd metres of a field and 80 or 90 metres wide. They stretch every yard of it and by getting runners ahead of the play, by creating depth. And you watch every time a Donegal man has a ball in the opposition half, you'll see every other forward just tearing away from him, just running away from him, leaving one-on-ones all over the place, you know. And so it's hugely, hugely interesting in that front.
Cara, would you go with that?
when you said about the contrast of styles and Galway being, you started that, and I thought you were going to say completely the opposite. I'd like to meet the people who are saying that Galway are the most offensive team in the country and Donegal are the most offensive.
It actually has been the discourse over a couple of days, and I'm going, oh my, been sound bites, and I'm like, what's going on here?
Look, it's an easy thing. Jim McGuinness has come back, and it's an easy thing to say they're a defensive team, and like they went into Celtic Park the first night, and they defended very, very deep and very, very narrow because that was the game plan that suited against Derry. They haven't been that way every week. And it's their offensive play. It is the difference in Donegal's offensive play this year is the big difference in Donegal. Obviously, they've improved on every facet, but it's something I would have touched on over the years with this Donegal team and their inability to win the big games and their inability to get to an All-Ireland semi-final and their shot conversion rate. Like I'll bore you with a couple of quick numbers, but 2018 against Mayo and Castlebar, 39%. 2020 against Tyrone, 54%. 2020, the Ulster final, they lost against Cavan, 41%. This year, Louth, 75%. Armagh, 74%. Tyrone in the round robin, 72%. Like, Tyrone, and we talk about we look with Jim McGuinness at the things like attacking the kick out and the way that they caught Owen Lynch out in Celtic Park and the real kind of stuff that really grabs their attention. But the bit for me is that when the season's over and you're maybe hearing the story of how the year actually unfolded, I will be absolutely amazed if they haven't just spent night after night after night after minute after minute just shooting and shooting and shooting in convoy, because it is showing in the scores that they're kicking. They're not scoring goals, and yet they're averaging over 20 points a game. You know, and that was Donegal's Achilles heel. And they have, the fact that they have fixed that is, for me, the single biggest reason why they are where they are.
This is the thing, Cardo. This is where it's going to come down. We'll get onto it, I'm sure, in more detail. But like, their scoring power is coming from their middle third. You know, that's where it's coming from, and their scoring threat. And will Galway allow that? That's going to be when the proof will be in the pudding, you know.
Good point. You mentioned Owen Lynch there, Davey. On that, kickouts, Derry pressed right, Donegal destroyed Derry, okay, when Patton went long, and Mulroney as well, okay. That led to Tyrone to pretty much set off Donegal. Now, Tyrone, former players in that, they were saying it was a good thing, some were saying it was a bad thing. Armagh only half-pressed Donegal's kickout. What do you think Galway will do with Sean Patton, Davey?
I have to show them both pictures, Paddy, to be honest with you. I think that there's going to be times where Galway are going to sit off and they're going to stay compact and they're going to set up the field whatever way they want. And then absolutely they'll press them as well. You look at Loud, caused them plenty of problems. Mm-hmm. With Tommy Dernan and Bevan Duffy midfield, you know, like Loud are no slow operators out there. So I think Galway are a very, very physical outfit now, a hugely physical outfit around the middle. If you look at John Maher, goes very, very underrated there. Paul Conroy is probably in line for player of the year if he keeps progressing the way he's going. You know, look at Matty Tierney. You look across them, Kenny McDade, like Sean McLaren now will be out there. They're ferocious and physical. So I'd imagine Galway will look for contests there. Now, Michael Langan, no slouch. You know these boys at Quayle McGonigal, they're big men too. But I just wonder, will Galway back their physicality around the middle? And certainly, I'd say if I had my hands in that team, I'd be getting Patton to kick that ball out, because do you want, you know, Roy McHugh and Patter Mogan picking up and Owen Bond picking up kick out after kick out short and letting them develop and letting them run the clock? Whereas I think I'd probably back Matty Tierney, Conroy, and them boys to win a lot of the physical stakes out the middle. You know,
you've not been impressed with Donegal's own press in a lot of games. You call it the half press, don't you? They're pushing up but they're not putting huge maybe pressure on the goalkeeper, and you think maybe they'd be better served, correct me if I'm wrong, just maybe dropping back a little bit, giving the kick out up and then putting pressure on?
To some degree, I wonder, is there maybe something in it that we're not seeing, because they keep on doing it. I went back to the Tyrone game in Celtic Park where they struggled with Tyrone, and there was a lot of focus in Tyrone dropping off the Donegal kick out. Donegal were still committing 8-9 men into the Tyrone half up on the Tyrone kick out. Niall Morgan was, I think, 11 out of 11 before he lost one. He was getting away. You know, Niall Morgan was too good to think that you could half press him into a mistake, but you were expending still a fair amount of energy trying to fool him, and it just felt like Niall Morgan was the kind of goalkeeper you had to go after, right? Or just give him the chip ball to Niall Devlin or Paddy Hamsey or whoever he wanted to chip it to, because what they ended up doing was exposing themselves a wee bit, sort of half pressing and then leaving gaps out the back. And Tyrone and Morgan, they didn't quite punish it, but they certainly, they ended up, Donegal were lucky in the end to get extra time out of the game. So to an extent, they did punish it. But I think it's just difficult. And Davey will know this better, but just very difficult in Croke Park to keep a press on the opposition kickouts with the pace of the game. Patton's very quick to get the ball to the tee. He just has a ball in his hands before the last one's dead. In open play, difficult to press that. Galway's, the structure of their attack and play, where it can be quite slow. They can take a long time to build attacks at times. That maybe lends itself to a press, because then you have the bodies up that allows you to squeeze it. But by and large, I think there's more onus on Donegal to go after Gleeson than there is on Galway to go after Patton, because I just feel that because there's so much talk about Galway's physicality, it'll be an area that Donegal really focus on. And they'll want to establish a wee bit of sort of parity in that. And a lot of it for me comes down to whether Jason McGee is fit. If he's fit, it makes a massive difference. If he's not fit, I wouldn't say I would struggle to see Donegal winning the game, but it's a hell of a lot harder if he's not.
Yeah. What will Donegal do with Gleeson to follow up on that, Davey?
Oh, they'll squeeze him as often as they can, no doubt about it. You can't half press. This half press, pushing 9 men up, unless they're trying to identify a weakness in a cornerback and they're trying to get one guy on the ball and then obviously cut the field off and target him, that's potentially what they're trying to do. I think it's a complete waste of time, to be honest with you. You're using up too much energy and you're giving Niall Morgan, these lads, green grass behind you. And all it needs is once. If Galway get this wrong on Sean Patton, the game's over. It'd be one ball over the top and Morgan and McHugh, etc., gone. And so they can't afford to get this wrong. I think it'll be unbelievably cagey early on, that you'll have teams pressing offset pieces probably only. But I do think that Jim McGuinness is spending hours on Conor Gleeson's kickouts. And look, if you look at it, Galway had Armagh dead and buried there 2 weeks ago in Sligo. Completely. We were there, obviously watching the game, and the game was over. It was 13-8 or 12, 13-8.
13-8.
And the game was as good as over after 53 or 4 minutes. And obviously Conor had two slip ups then in a row. If that they didn't happen, we were heading home. It was job done. So this Galway team, they're a fair outfit, but they're one. It's glaring. Is the kick out,
Yeah, fascinated. We won't know probably about Shane Walsh until about 15, 20 minutes before throw-in. Okay, what's it like when you're taking on a team, okay, and they have a star man? Whether it's club, county, what's it like putting so much preparation into a player, but always in the back of your mind, he may or may not play? Is it conversely, can it almost not put you off is the wrong term, but say you find out you're preparing for Shane Walsh, team is named, he's named to start, the announcer, Jerry Grogan in Croke Park, he's the stadium announcer, there's been one change in the Galway team. What are you just, you've so much prep, is it, in the 2 weeks leading up to it, if or if not, can it throw you as a management team?
No. You've prepped for Shane and you'll have prepped for, by Tom O'Callaghan or whoever else would be in his place. I don't think so at all, no. And I'd be fairly certain he'll play. I'd be fairly certain they'll have whatever they need to get that full side onto the field for an All-Ireland semi-final. So if I was managing Donegal, I'd be absolutely preparing for Shane Walsh. And then I'd be happy enough to see someone else come out onto the field instead of him, to be honest with you. So it wouldn't throw you at all. You'd have all your work done on everybody. What if scenarios all done on everybody? It's not the end of the world, no.
What was the injury, lads? He rolled the ankle, I think, in the first half. It was a little bit confusing. Was it the hamstring slash groin then?
Seemed to pull up the hamstring towards the end in the last few minutes and went off, but he tried to play on. He ended up taking a ball down along the sideline in the Hogan Stand side and recycling it just before he went off, like, so it's a tricky one. Like, he could have a cramp on the hamstring or anything, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean he's done major harm, but certainly one that, you know, everybody, there'll be all eyes on him when he comes out on Sunday, because you will be interested in seeing how he's moving in the warm-up and whether he looks like... you can be damn sure Donegal are going to test it if they think it is a hamstring. I feel like Kieran Muir was probably the man for him in any case, but Muir will certainly test him. In terms of his ability to then do the proper running and whether the hamstring is fully up to it.
John Kelly, I think, is out, isn't he? Pretty much.
He hasn't played much all year. He's struggled big time since he went to America last year carrying that knock and came back. He just has really, really struggled. And what a loss. Even like, you know, I seen him again in first hand a couple of weeks ago up in Sligo, and he couldn't move around the field. You felt for him now. I very much felt for him because he's top class. So he will be a big loss to them. But even trying to draw out the Galway team here earlier, just have a look at it. Didn't have Kelly in it. She's still a fair, strong team now.
Yeah, they're really big. What are the key matchups? Lads, Cahir, starting with you. What are the matchups?
Well, for me, I think I watched the Galway-Dublin game back from behind the goal there the other night. And what I noticed, and Davey maybe noticed this as well through the years, that when Galway maybe turn the ball over, they're coming out of defence. Finnerty tries to get as close to Comer as he can, as quickly as he can. They like to get him as far up the pitch. And for me, I wouldn't put Pádraig Mógán on him then. I think Pádraig Mógán is legs. It's fairly hard to drain Pádraig Mógán's legs now, in fairness, but I don't think we need to take that risk. I think you put Owen Ban Gallagher in there, comfortable enough to do the defensive side of it, and that works.
Sorry, you don't put Mógán on Finnerty, is it?
No, you don't put Mógán on Finnerty, because Finnerty will drag him so far up the pitch that if Mógán keeps having to go 140 yards this way to 140 yards that way, you know, it's different if he's playing the half forward line. Even he can. It's 110 yards. It's just a wee bit of a difference. Finnerty's going to try and drag him up, so you keep Mógán out, and then sure, McCall on Comer is the obvious one. And the interesting thing in the Dublin game again was that, you know, there were plenty of times when Comer was one-on-one in the full forward line. And he never kicked it. They didn't look to kick it. The most of the possession Comer got was coming short for a hand pass out to what would be his sort of right-hand side. Was where he picked up most of his possessions. He looked fairly frustrated. McMahon did a really good job on him, but marked him from a good 6-7 yards in front. And you were thinking that at some point Galway are going to look up and think, well, do you know what? If he's marking him that far in front, we'll throw one in, because, you know, comes in over his head, he's in real bother. But they never did. And I think Donegal, and maybe Galway as well, will take a lot from that. Galway maybe look at that and think, you know what? It is worth turfing one or two in there. But if they don't, they're not getting the best out of Comer, I think, at the minute.
I would think, lads, that Donegal have a big decision to make here, in that I think Mark Curran's going to come back in, because, you know, they were obviously lining up to play Loud and they knew how Loud it's set up. This Galway team have six, you know, serious threats and more, but... like, they have six forwards who can score. They have two midfielders. They have a half-back line who can all do it and are fully conditioned and fully at the level to play in an All-Ireland semi-final. You know, Conor Donnell obviously came in for Mark the last day, a cornerback. I couldn't see that happening this week. And do Donegal, as you said, Cara, really want Pádraig Mógán or Ryan McHugh dropping back a line? I don't think so. So I would think it's definitely something that they're racking their brains at getting a defender, a cornerback back in there to pick up Rob Finnerty. That's what certainly I'd be looking at. McCall on Comer looks dead cert. And then I'd have Kieran Moore on the Walsh. And you have a half back line then of McHugh, Owen Bond, and Mogan, or Caelan McGonigal, obviously, is going midfield. So there's a lot of options there, but it's I think Donegal will need another marker up there, to be honest with you, in the full back line.
But does Pater Mogan, Davey, if Pater Mogan goes and Rob Finnerty, does that not leave Galway with huge questions as well? Because he went to the corner the last day, he kicks 5 points, he kicked three against Tyrone from corner back. Does that not make Joyce and management, what do they do if Mogan decides to go on Finnerty, or do you think Donegal are robbing Peter to pay Paul?
I think Parrott nailed the head. Like, you're trying to ask Mogan to run 140 metres each way each time. Remember now, with no disrespect to anybody else, they weren't playing Galway yet. You know, this is Galway here. This isn't the Division 2 team, Division 2, whatever. This is Galway now with proper some of the best forwards in the country here. So, that's where my fear of playing Mogan too far back the field will come. He might gas out. Rob Finnerty's a massive threat, as we've all seen. Yes, he could be quiet with Walsh and Comer beside him, but he just needs a sniff. And he wasn't fully fit today, but it looks like he's getting there now. So I just think it's a huge risk for them. I think it's a huge risk to play Mogan back there on such a quality player like that, you know?
I think as well, sorry, you're talking about matchups as well. And looking at it, I think Galway can create a real problem for Donegal in that whole sense of, right, so Comer's going to be where he's, you know, they're going to play where they're going to play. Tierney on the wing then creates a real problem for Donegal, because the natural, you know, because there's a lack of height there in that Donegal defence, particularly in the two wing halfback positions, they don't want Tierney in a one-on-one defensively against Mogan or against McHugh. I toyed with the idea. McGonigal has been so good in the centre, central to the fact that, you know, what if Donegal conceded a single goal, whatever it is, you know, Donegal aren't conceding goals anyway, basically. And McGonigal is central to that, and he's grown into being really, really important in that role. Physically, he matches up to Tierney, but they don't want him on the wing. And I actually think that it'll end up with Donegal's attack being reshaped a wee bit, and Kieran Thompson will go to wherever Tierney is going to play. So if Tierney's at left half forward or right half forward, Thompson will play on that side, and he will drop back, and he will effectively pick up Tierney, because physically then it gets Donegal out of that hole. And I think that's the only thing they really can do, because they don't want that mismatch. And they're going to, you know, they're going to maybe have an issue on kickouts on that. If I suppose McGonigal maybe press out to Tierney if they're organised enough and it all works. But
just to challenge that, Carr, I think they're in trouble in their half back line anyway with regards to physicality, because I think John Marr will go up to pick up Brian McHugh. I think Johnny Heaney will definitely start to pick up Mogan. And I think Tierney McGonigal could find themselves at 6 and 11 just the way it might work out. I think that might suit Donegal, as you're saying. But I think they'll have John Marr and Johnny Heaney to tag the two boys. And John Marr is a serious, serious athlete, seriously powerful man, and obviously very good in the air. I think Galway's physicality must be a big worry while Donegal will back themselves in the ground and they'll back themselves, you know, over in a foot race. I think John Marr and Johnny Heaney could go a long way to deciding, or definitely the winners of them matchups between Mogan, McHugh, Maher and Heaney, I think could go a long, long way here. If you watch Johnny Heaney as well, the probably very, very underestimated footballer, lads. He was probably the best player in Division 1 this year, or very close to it during the league. He was exceptional every game, Mr. Consistent. I don't know why he's been out of the team. He must have picked up a knock. And like when he came on the last day, I think he went a long way to changing the game himself the last day, to be honest with you. I think if you watch him picked up Ryan Howard, he really, really caused Dublin an awful lot of problems in their own kickouts. And Galway got a foothold onto it. He kicked a good score. I can see Heaney being straight in from the start, and I can see him tagging one of them two boys. And, you know, I think that causes further problems, because then you have three big men in John Marr, Matty Tierney and John Heaney all across the half forward line for Galway. And Conor Gleeson wants to go long on kickouts. You know, it's right there. It's very, very interesting.
The only thing I would say is, and I agree with you, Maher was brilliant against Fenton from last weekend. If McGee plays, that's where I would have felt Maher might be utilized. Where he might be detailed to pick up McGee, which would have left. I had Heaney in my team as well, but McDead then on. I had Heaney on McHugh and McDead on Mogan, but they're interchangeable, those two battles. Yes. But I just felt that Maher would play at midfield because McGee would be there, and there's not a natural, if you take Maher out of that midfield and McGee is in it, there's potentially an advantage for Donegal there. So that's what I felt Maher would play at midfield, and that
was, I wasn't expecting McGee. So it depends if McGee is fit or not. Yeah, that's what happened.
Yeah,
down
totally.
To.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now look, it's like this, McDaid, Maher, Heaney, they're very interchangeable. I do think they're very interchangeable. And Paddy, you asked the question about matchups. Ultimately, nobody knows until 40 minutes before throwing when you get handed the team sheet, the opposition team sheet. And they'll have discussed all this weekend at their training camps. Both sides will be preparing for it. Game plan A is pick out Jason McGee and put Johnny Maher on him. You know, McGee doesn't turn up on the day. Obviously, you have to switch out the wing forward, John. And look, once the ball's thrown in, positions are kind of half out the window a little bit anyway, lads.
Davey, I was listening to Kevin Walsh on Off the Ball, and he was talking about the Donegal Cork match, and he was asked about Pater Mogan and Ryan McHugh. Do you man mark them? Do you pick them up everywhere? And he was like, they decided not to, just pick them up, I suppose, when they go forward, when they trespass into the opposition half. What do you think Galway will do there?
I think they'll man mark both of them, or certainly go a long way. I think Johnny Heaney will pick up Pater Mogan, and I think the likes of a John Maher could pick up Roy McHugh. I think you have to. I think Donegal scored 112 last weekend from their players from a corner back to midfield, and they only scored 9 points from their 10 to 15. So for me, that's probably where I'd be looking. You need to stop Donegal's middle eight, and McHugh and Mogan are obviously probably the two most potent, along with Langan in that. So I couldn't see how he wouldn't pick them two up, to be honest with you.
A couple of lads have said, and again I'm referencing Off the Ball, Paddy Andrews said Donegal do not have the kicking game to get to the next level to win an All-Ireland. They're very good, he says, they're very functional, they have a lot of green ticks this year. Tomás O'Shea also hinted on it on RTE. Do you think that could catch up with them in that, to go to that next level? And may, the second part of the question, do you think we may see something different from McGuinness? I suppose even going back earlier to 2012, while Donegal were defensive, a counter-attacking team, if you actually watch a lot of those games, Cork, Mayo, they kicked a lot as well. Do you think we'll see something different?
Yeah, look, it's interesting. I don't really know where I stand on that one, because you watch different teams. Like, I would have watched a lot of Kerry and Dublin over the last couple of weeks from the last couple of years. They're the two best teams in that transition when they sense blood. If they get a turnover, the both of them can be devastating, and it relies a wee bit on a kicking game. They're the two most fluid in terms of getting the head up. We've all been looking at Armagh. People have been crying out for Armagh to kick the ball more. They're probably, and I don't know if Davey agrees with this in terms of, you know, he'll have done loads of work on them in the last few weeks, but Armagh's transition has sped up a fair bit this year, but it's actually led, I feel that at times when they're in that really fast transition, they actually look a wee bit isolated. And there's opportunities for turnovers there. And I just feel that sometimes the way the thing is now, the kick is not, you know, the kick's not the right option a lot of the time. Donegal are very, very good at what they do. They're very good at getting runners out at pace, getting them ahead of the ball, overwhelming an opposition defence by sheer volume of numbers that they get committed to the attack very, very quickly. And that is what they rely on. Look, do you need a kicking game? Probably does you no harm to have the bit of variety. I think Galway will lock it down. They defended very, very narrow against Dublin. They made it very hard for Dublin to play through them. Maybe look, there maybe is something in that. But I think Donegal are very good at what they do. Their scoring stats are, say, their conversion rate is very, very good. So I wouldn't hang a wild pile on it at the minute, but there might be something in that, all right.
Okay. Before we get the predictions, lads, Davey, what kind of game is it going to be? I suppose what I'm getting at there is, on Sunday night, is the nation, is there going to be outrage about this one? Are we going to see a good old school traditional game? Are we going to with obviously a lot of defensive play. How do you think it'll manifest itself?
I think it'll start cagey, no doubt. I think we'll see a lot of conceded kickouts from open play. I think we'll see a lot of defending 15 men back early on, and they'll be pressing off from restarts and slow attacks, maybe only. But I do think it'll spring into life because there's too good of forward lines out there and too good of transition players out there for it not to spring into life. And I think there's goals in this game. I know both teams, that might sound contradictory. I know both teams don't concede very many goals, but I do think in this game, the way it matches up, there is goals there to be got. I think it's a hugely exciting game. And for me, this is a brilliant game of GAA in 2024. Like all the giving out that people do about our sport, you know, if you're not excited about watching these two go at it and all the matchups myself and Carr have went through there for the last 20 minutes, like we didn't even mention Johnny McGrath, Oisin Gallen or Jack Lynn or Niall O'Donnell or any of that. Like, you know, like there's serious, serious matchups there. What are Donegal going to do with Dylan McHugh? You know, he's a massive problem for them. Yeah. So he's like, for me, there's three players in the country for Galway up for player of the year, and Johnny McGrath, Dylan McHugh, Paul Conroy. You know, Donegal probably have one in Patrick Mogan in the conversation. So it just shows you, like, you know, the level of footballer we're dealing with here. And you know, it's a huge, hugely exciting game to be looked forward to, be honest.
Where can, and again, I promise this is the last one before the predictions, where can Donegal hurt? Now I'm getting the feeling you're both leaning towards the tribesmen, and that's fine, lads, that's fine. Where can Donegal hurt Galway? We're talking, they're so strong everywhere, Davey. If Donegal are to get joy, basically if you were at home Monday morning, you went to the moon for the weekend, Donegal beat Galway, why would they have beaten Galway, do you think?
Because Niall O'Donnell, Kieran Thompson, Michael Langan have scored 3 points in play each. And Paddy McBrearty obviously chipped in as well. They've kicked 10 points, 11 points between them four players, give or take, we'll say, Darrell Boyle. Just say that they'll have to have come good, because I can't see Oisin Gallen getting a huge amount of joy other than his couple of scores with Johnny McGrath with him and the defensive help he's going to have. They're going to need to shoot outside this Galway team, because time and time again in Division 1, it's proven they're a very, very tough team to go through, to get much joy off in deep. So I honestly think the likes of Niall O'Donnell will have to be man of the match, or Kieran Thompson, for Donegal to win it, to be honest with you.
Carr, if Donegal win it, what does it look like?
I think they'll try and overwhelm Galway's forward line on the break with their legs. I look at those matchups, and what I see is more legs in the Donegal back six than is in the Galway front six. And they're going to try and test that. They're going to try and just run them into submission. You know, it's something you've seen with Clifford, with Kerry. I noticed it with Comer as well, that Galway are at the point where they don't really allow him to be run. They'll find a way of excusing him from that work and try and keep him as close to the edge of the square as they can. But if McCall can find some way to run him, Owen Bann's going to run Finnerty, Moore's going to run Walsh, McHugh's going to run Heaney, Mogan's going to run McDear. Like they're going to run Galway here, and that's the test for Galway. Whether their front six can stand that test, and that to me is a lot of where the game comes down to.
Okay.
Just to back that up, though, just one thing on it, and probably bigging up Connacht football here. You know, Mayo tried, or have tried, to run that Galway forward line into the ground with Sam Callanan, Rory Bricken, and Dunnick McHugh, Jack Pine, Owen McLaughlin. Like, they're high-level athletes, like very high-level athletes, and unsuccessfully done it. So it won't be the first time that, you know, Comer, Walsh have, you know, had fellas trying to go 140 metres each way against them. You know, Mayo are as good and as an athletic team as anybody in the country, you know, and Galway, in my opinion, Carr, just in my opinion, will be tested and will know how to deal with that, as they've proven, you know. That's just my take on that part, you know.
Okay. Prediction time, and we normally flooded with Donegal guests, but of course, before the Ulster final, we went with two neutrals, and then we had a very biased comment podcast after the match. And we have Donegal guests only on the review show on Sunday night. Oh, nobody else but Donegal people, whether we win together or lose together, but don't be annoying me after the game for a podcast if Donegal lose. It might take a while. I'm going to be in the Crow Park Hotel drowning my sorrows. Davey, will I be drowning my sorrows as a Donegal man on Sunday night? Who is going to win and why?
I think you might be, Paddy. I think Galway will win very narrowly. I think Galway will win by 2 points. I think their defensive stability, actually overall, I think they can mix it any way you want it. And I think they have the players, the structure, the tactical acumen to mix it with you any way you want it. They have the defensive stability, they have the transition players in Dylan McHugh, John Maher, and then they have the finishers and the forwards up front. And the most impressive thing I have at Galway is their use of the ball. I don't think there's any team, including Dublin or any of these teams, that use the ball as well as Dublin, who make better decisions, as well as Galway, who make better decisions than them, and the pace of the transfer. If you watch how quickly, if Donegal defend the numbers, that Galway team with Conroy, Sean Kelly and Dee Tierney, they transfer that ball so quickly, avoid contact. They're very, very good. Very, very good side. So I just think add all that together, and it could be a year too early for Donegal, maybe. You know, having come from where they've come from, that Galway team are playing a very high level of football for a long time now. So I'd be tipping Galway, narrowly, Galway by two.
Who, Cahir, and why?
It's hard. Like, I think I said to you from months ago, Paddy, I think the team that Donegal wanted to avoid was Galway. I think that physical mismatch does play a lot into Galway's hands. There is an advantage there on this side. Davey says they're around the batter now long enough. They played that All-Ireland final a couple of years ago. They have some of the best players in the country. It's just those couple of fitness doubts. How fit is Walsh? You're without Sean Kelly, who has been a big player for them. And the conversion, I just think Donegal's shooting is really, really good at the minute. I think they're kicking scores. They're getting up over 30 shots a game most weeks. They're kicking 65% of 30 shots. You're doing okay. You're going to be very, very close. And if they can snatch a goal, not playing to the gallery, but I've had a feeling for Donegal all year. I've had a feeling for them from before the ball was thrown in on the start of the year,
you text me in January and said you think Donegal might win the All-Ireland. You did.
And for a penny and for a pound at this stage, so I might as well stick with it. I wouldn't be doing it in any huge confidence, but I do think that they're in a serious shot.
Who's going to win? You said Donegal are in for a serious shot, but who's going to win?
I'll have to go. I'll go Donegal, but don't be asking me to put the house on it.
Okay, lads, we're not going to spend much time on this one. You're so good for giving up your time. And just a reminder, the Donegal GAA podcast is out Sunday night on commentary for Ocean FM. Myself, Mark McHugh, and Peter Campbell, if you're not around. And as I said, the show will be released at about 7-8 o'clock. Davey Bourke, just very quickly, maybe 2-3 minutes. Armagh Kerry, because it's the Donegal podcast, and I know they have their own shows. Who and why there, Davey?
Probably, I think this is a very good game, a very interesting game. I think there's very, very little in it. I think there's very little in it. If you work off our game with Armagh last week, they set up a very particular style. And I think our shooting efficiency was what cost us. And then obviously a couple other with the red card and a couple of injuries and different things. But I think our shooting efficiency at 39% overall is what was the difference between the teams. And we'd fancy ourselves to put that right any day of the week. And I'm sure Kerry will fancy themselves to kick higher than that. And if you kick more than that, and Armagh are so reliant on the counter-attack, what are they going to live off? And I could just see Kerry having a little bit too much for them up front then on that front. That's what I would... Now, you mightn't set up like that. And I know you even said it earlier, Paddy, that people are crying out for Armagh to push out. But I'm not sure, this year they're going to push out. It's very, very difficult now in 2 weeks' work to change your style completely, So I just think that unless they got enough... little jolts off us last week to say, okay, if Roscommon had their shooting boots on here, this would have been a very, very different game. So, I think Kerry will have too much for them, but I think it'll be very tight and probably a little bit coming from Division 2 and probably a little bit of Kerry are a long, long time knocking on the door of this team and All-Ireland Champions a couple of years ago and probably just would edge with that little bit of experience at the level. But Armagh are coming side and the likes of Oisin Connolly and these boys are fair operators and they're a real, real decent side. And they'll have no fear, which is a massive thing in All-Ireland semi-final, But I just carry by three.
Okay. Cahir?
Yeah, I don't see Armagh changing out of their style. I think it's what they've set up to do. They're going to drop back. And also the fact that for me, it's the style that frustrates Gary. They don't like having to play through it. They want, did a fair bit of analysis on them a couple of weeks ago, like, and what was it, of their 38 attacks in the All-Ireland final against Dublin last year, like, they finished 30 of them within two phases of attack. Like, they want to go from A to Z as fast as they can go there. Like, and I think for that reason, you'll see a very exciting game in that both teams like a fast transition. And if there are turnovers, it's not going to be slow build-up. It's going to be, let's get up that pitch as fast as we can and hurt them. And I think you could get a bit of a breathless sort of an end-to-end game. And I think ultimately the difference is probably, for me, when it comes to a game like that, Armagh probably just don't have a Paddy Clifford. Paddy Clifford just dictates so much of that part of the play for Kerry. He's so good at, he can carry it, he can carry the pace, he can kick scores, he can kick passes, he can look up and kick at 60 yards to David Lick, and his decision making and the pace that he carries it at. I think Armagh are probably just lacking that. If they had Paddy Clifford in their team, I think Armagh would win the game, because the ball would, well, the decision making on that transition would be just of the real high standard. And Paddy Clifford, man of the match, and Kerry, they won it.
Okay. Just one thing on that, Carr. I think the position of Grugan will be very important. I think Grugan's an exceptional centre forward. I think he does that role.
He does that role for them. And like, I love Rory. He's a great player, but just in terms of the pace that he carries the ball at, and the power to break the tackles, Paddy can break the tackles a wee bit better. And his decision making's just at such a high level. I agree with you. That's exactly who plays that role for Armagh. I just think Paddy Clifford is so good at it for Kerry that when the game breaks up, that he could be the difference in it.
Big time, yeah. And another one, Graeme O'Sullivan's fitness might have a big part to play here. He's a very, very underrated player for Kerry as well. And
should have won an All-Star.
Yeah. Brian Begley's been man of the match twice or three times now. You know,
three in a row, yeah.
Yeah, like it is very, very it's intriguing. In fairness, this Armagh team, they haven't been beaten, am I right, in 17 or 18 games? Is that right? In 70, you know, so,
yeah, 70 minutes, yep, yep.
Yeah, like, they're a fair outfit now, and they will die for the cause. So what a weekend of football, lads. Let me make sure this is hugely positive. What a weekend of football we have ahead.
Oh, 100%. And there'll be huge crowds at both, and just can't wait. And different styles, and be a great buzz around Dublin. There's absolutely no doubt about that. Cara, you're going to both, aren't you?
We're going down to both. We booked it 6 or 7 months ago to go down to both and take the weekend and enjoy it. I'm taking the weekend off, so busman's holiday.
Good man. And the Euros final Sunday night as well at 8 o'clock. So hopefully get wrapped up. So at that time, I'll either be drinking, I'll either be having a pint on my own, not wanting to talk to everybody, or looking for a phone charger 48 hours later, because Donegal are in an All-Ireland final. We will wait and see. I just want to give, our listeners have gone through the roof this year, so I just want to give a big shout out to the Donegal people, particularly those, and there's so many messages coming in and too many to go through, but there's so many people tuning in across the Atlantic, in various parts of America, a huge contingent in the Middle East, Australia as well. And I know there's a lot of people tuning in that are traveling the world at the moment. We really, really appreciate it. And we're all just, I think, desperate for Donegal to make it back to an All-Ireland final. And it would just be our fourth in our history, 92, 12, 14. And hopefully, fingers crossed. And big shout out, maybe a lot of new Galway listeners as well. I lived there for 11 years. Brilliant county. If Donegal don't win, I certainly hope yous do. Davy Burke, Roscommon manager, Cathair O'Kane of the Irish News. Lads, it would have been probably a better podcast if I had to just go into hiding and let yous two talk to each other. Yous are both class acts and yous both give up your time. And oh, Davy, there's rumours going you may be holidaying in southwest Donegal around August. Any truth to that?
For sure. I'll be there, buddy. I'll be in docks, plopped up.
If you see me, you'll be asking Eamon if you see Paddy McGill coming through the door, so you can sneak out the back door and go down to Nancy's or somewhere. So I wouldn't blame you. Lads, really, really appreciate your time for coming on the podcast.
No bother, Paddy. Thanks. Good stuff.
So, lads, Okay, folks, so for the 100th time, the next Donegal GAA podcast, win or lose, will be released on a Sunday night in the usual platforms. And a big shout out to your loyal listeners who tune in your big numbers. Also to our sponsors, Donegal Plumbing and Heating, Old Lahey Road in Donegal Town. Bye for now. Stay safe up Donegal, and we will talk to you on Sunday night.
Ocean FM.
Donegal Plumbing and Heating, Old Lahey Road, Donegal Town. Suppliers of underfloor heating packages, aluminium radiators, Samson and Daikin air-to-water heat pumps, and all your renewable needs. And sponsors of the Donegal GAA podcast.